Okay, last week we, the last few weeks we talked an introduction to tefillah. We talked about, well, the tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraita. We talked about other tefillah mitzvah d'rabbanan, how that applies to women. Last week we talked more about Shmoneh Esrei, the tension of instituting. I'm going to just close the door here. We talked about the tension of introducing a set text versus the more spontaneous kavana intent, that there's a tension there because if somebody's praying from within, there's a greater potential for it to be more meaningful, but there's also greater for potential for it to be less meaningful. So to assist, Chazal instituted a text for everybody to say. We also noted how that makes us part of the greater whole, because we're going to ask for everything, not just like we saw from Panina Elach, like the doctor who's going to daven for his patients and the farmer that's going to daven for rain. It's that we're all in this together, we're all davening for everything. We spoke about that a little bit last week. What we're going to do this week and next week, it's probably going to be a two-part, but we'll have to see how long it takes, is we're going to talk a little bit about the Nusach HaTfilah. Nusach Ashkenaz, Sfarad, etc.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting things to say on the topic. I wish I would have found some type of history that could have gone through all this. Just for background information, I didn't look for that long, but I also didn't really find a history. So what I'm about to say is mostly what I gathered between the various sources that are in the source sheets about the different versions of davening, and also what I read a little bit on Wikipedia is also usually a good resource, but I'm sure there's much better histories out there than what I'm about to say. So just for a background, before we talk about Nusach HaTfilah, we're going to specifically talk about, is one Nusach better than another Nusach, switching them, can you switch from Ashkenaz to Sfaradi, or Ashkenaz to Sfard, or vice versa. We'll talk about what happens if you're in a shul that's doing one and you dive in the other. There's quite a few. We have a few tshuvot on this. Also, some other practical halacha and interesting things. It's a very, very interesting topic. So, very, very basic background. Like I said, I was unable to really find a more developed background. But basically, there was two texts of tefillah, and two main texts. There was Ashkenaz and we'll call it Sfaradi. Okay, within each of those, there was a lot of sub-cams. Different places were doing things slightly differently, but for probably most of history, since the Anshei Knesset HaGadola established tefillah, or probably not from that point on, but probably from a thousand, whatever, a couple, 500, 600 years later, when there started to be, when we were sent into Galut, there was largely two versions of tefillah, Nusach Ashkenaz, and Sfaradi, which is not Nusach Sfard, we'll talk about that in a minute. Sfaradi, which is would be more of like the Spanish and what we call the Sfaradim, the old country, Edo Tamizrach, that could probably be, it might even be clearer for the purpose of this year to just call it Edo Tamizrach, and we'll use that as the term for all the similar things for...
Even Edo Tamizrach,
there's a lot, yes, there's a lot. A lot of minor differences between the different Nuschaot of Tefillah, yeah.
So what did Anshei Knesset HaGadola, what are they exactly establishing?
So they established, right, so they established Shmoneh Esrei, yeah. And I think what we'll also see is that largely, for most of it, there's not that big of a difference, and for Shmoneh Esrei, there's really very, very small differences, yeah. that we'll see the Aruch HaShulchan probably this week. He says that they're all so small, largely we're all saying the same thing. That's what his approach to this is. So yeah, they would have established probably one text of Shmoneh Esrei. I think it's not clear whether from people moving to different places, probably people from moving to different places, they had minor differences, just minor differences that emerged from davening.
Were the differences based on misunderstandings, or it was a conscious effort to change it?
I think that's a great question. I think we don't know the answer. I think we don't know the answer. I didn't see any answer. I don't know. So it's a good question. It's a very good question. I mean, for example, just so you can hear a difference, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this as Ashkenazim say in Atachonein, we say Deya Bina V'Haskel, and Sfar they say Chochma Bina V'Da'at. So we say Deya Bina and Haskel. So they first they do Chochma. We don't say Chachma, we say We say seichel, haskel, seichel. So they say chachma. We both have bina and we both have da'at. We just are switching the orders around a little bit. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's not. He doesn't think that's a big difference. So your point, Gary, is whether that was a conscious decision to switch those around a little bit, or somehow that just came to be.
Like, playing telephone where things
messaging. It's a good question. We'll even see in a few minutes that the Yerushalmi quotes that I don't know. I didn't look it up. Reference to some type of tefillah where they sent out, the Yerushalmi says, I guess they sent out from Israel some type of tefillah, but they told the people that you should keep your minhag. I guess if your minhag was against this or you had a different version of this, they sent out that you should keep your minhag.
There's a number of paragraphs in Shmoneh Esrei where they have like whole lines inserted that we don't say.
Right. So I don't know. It's... I don't know where and when.
It's like there was an order, a word here or there.
Yeah, you're right. But they have their
lines.
If you go to Davin Eidot HaMizrach, they do it.
It's longer in the winter, I think, than in the summer.
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody in a shir that I read on this, I think he noted just that we don't really know if these changes were deliberately done, or that was how they had even received it. It's possible that they had received it that way somehow from Anshei Knesset HaGadola, or from Israel sent it, or they sent it to them to do it that way, or if in their countries there was a specific need, so they started to do it that way. I would guess
it's completely different than this one.
There's differences.
In the Shmoneh Esrei, I'm looking and thinking, wow.
I think if you probably count the different nuschot of Tila, you possibly could get 50, 60, 100 different nuschot of Tila, just from every single place and every type of Svaradim. They have a different one, and all the Hasidim have. It's all 99.9% the same. The Hasidim, I think all the Hasidim groups, I think have slightly different versions of their tefillah.
Chabad, very much so.
The Gra has his own.
The Gra took Nusach Ashkenaz and he made some changes to it.
I don't even know the first one, do you?
I think that's actually a dispute amongst some of the historians and the scholars about. It would seem to be that one of the customs emerged from Bavel, from Bavel, and a different custom emerged from Israel, which we have two Talmuds, we have a Bavli and Yerushalmi. It would seem that one of them emerged from one place, one emerged from the other place, and the historians have an argument about which came from which place. Yes. Some of them say that Nusach Ashkenaz came from Israel, and that's what kind of makes it a better, stronger, because we were closer to the source in Israel, and other scholars say that the Ashkenazim came from Bavel, and the Sfaradim came, the Nusach Sfaradik, the Nusach Sfaradi came from Israel. You're also dealing with a time period. Nobody was keeping historical records. Nobody was studying history. So it's very, you just have to try to do a lot of research on this and try to surmise or guess, which one you think is best. But basically we have those two nuschaot, Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfaradi. So what happened was then in...
What does Ashkenaz mean?
Germany, I guess.
Ashkenaz in those days, Israel and
so that's what we're calling it, because that's what all the European countries, were doing that. So that became Nusach Ashkenaz. So then the fast forward a long time, and then the Arizal. In the 1500s, the Arizal died in something like 1570. What the Arizal did was he took the Nusach Sfaradi and he added these Kabbalistic ideas and incorporated them into Nusach Sfaradi. So the Nusach, he didn't, I don't think he wrote anything out, but I think his students, or after he passed away, he passed away at a relatively young age, after he passed away, I think then they started to write out all the changes that the Arizal made to the Nusach Sfaradi, and that's what we would have as Nusach Ari. I don't really know if it took, how much it took hold from when that happened in the mid-1500s. I don't think it really, now there's a lot of Nusach Ari because Chabad davens Nusach Ari, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But I think probably for the next 100, 150 years, it was, my guess would be a smaller group of people, like in Svat. So the Ari, and this is also, we're going to see that this is going to come up. The Ari lived in Egypt for most of his life, so he was living amongst people who davened Nusach Sfaradi in Egypt. And what he did was he took that Nusach that they were using, and presumably he was using, even though he himself was Ashkenaz, born to an Ashkenazi father, but he was raised, I think, by his uncle in Egypt. Mm-hmm. So he took the local Nusach that everybody was using, and he added all these Kabbalistic ideas and made some Kabbalistic changes, and that became Nusach Ari. Then if you fast forward like 200 years or so to the mid-1700s, the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, mm-hmm. he decided that he was going to take the Ari's work, and I think he incorporated some of his own and other Kabbalistic ideas into it. And he then published that as a siddur that I think he didn't call it Nusach Ari because it wasn't Nusach Ari, because he took some of Nusach Ari he probably took most of Nusach Ari and then just made some smaller changes to it. So he called it Nusach Al Pi Ha'ari or something like that, the Nusach according to the Ari, which meant that it wasn't the exact same as the Ari, but it was. Some changes and updates to it, and when he did that, that became the Chabad minhag. From that point on, was to use this. I don't know if Chabad now uses exactly Nusach Ari, or they used the way that the first Chabad Rebbe, his version of the Nusach Ari, but Chabad since at that point has davened Nusach Ari. So then, what happened after that is the Hasidim, who are more, I guess, Kabbalistic, the Hasidim, which at this point in time we started to have the proliferation of the Hasidim from the late 1700s, in the 1800s. So the Hasidim then, what they did, they were all davening Nusach Ashkenaz. That was all in Europe. It wasn't in the Arab countries. It was in Europe. They mainly merged some type of Ari with Nusach Ashkenaz. Right. Again, the Ari took Nusach Sfaradi and kind of added Kabbalistic ideas to it. The Hasidim took the Nusach Ari and kind of joined it together with Nusach Ashkenaz in a way of kind of, upgrading is not the right word, they kind of took Kabbalistic ideas and applied them to the Nusach Ashkenaz. So right now, when you say Nusach Sfard is really Nusach Ashkenaz with these Kabbalistic ideas that were inserted, that were added to it, that are mainly the Hasidim are using that. And like we said, the Hasidim in every single Rebbe had his own slightly different version of what he had modified or what he had changed, etc. Yeah.
So we started off by saying Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decided it would be better for the people to have one formal unified text.
Right.
That would be easy people, Kavana or right. Davin or whatever.
Right.
So now you get to a point where each of these
has a slightly different version.
Is deliberately changing it. So basically, you're going back to where you started. You know, everybody's davening, or so many people davening.
So
you don't have a formal text anymore.
Yeah,
you went backwards.
What you're saying is actually going to lead us now into what we're going to talk about. Is that really true? Or is it possible to say that now everybody's doing something differently? You can either say at least two things that I can think of. One, you can say since it's all very similar to what the Anshei Knesset HaGadol established, we're not going to really view those as any significant differences, and really we all are still doing the same thing. And the second thing that I was going to say now slips my mind.
The original intent was used as a form of
Achdut. Right. So the question is whether it matters. That's also the second question. Meaning, even though if you're saying one thing and I'm saying another thing and the third guy's saying a third thing and up to 100 people that are all diving slightly differently, is that a material difference, or is that just immaterial? Is that just something small? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is going to help us determine whether, if somebody's davening a certain nusach, whether they should daven a quote-unquote better nusach, right? Should you daven a better one, or should you keep davening the same one? If they're all part of the same boat and we're all accomplishing the same thing, so then no one is better than another. There's no reason for me to change to Nusach Sfard or Nusach Sfaradi if my Ashkenazi is just as good, or vice versa. There'd be no reason for somebody who's davening Nusach Sfaradi to change to Ashkenaz because Ashkenaz is better. Let's assume that for a minute. But if we're going to start to say, well, maybe there was one, Anche Gneset Hagadola said one thing, that means that one thing is maybe better than the others, then we would have to try to figure out which one exactly is better, and that's gonna, now we're gonna have to see the sources. There is interesting things to say on the matter. So we're gonna begin now. That was just our introduction to a basic introduction to the nusach of tefillah, the different nuschot. So the Shulchan Aruch in source one, we'll see this inside. It's not really directly applicable to what we're going to talk about, but the Magen Avram, the commentary to it, is very much applicable to this topic. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh mekomot shemafsikim bebirchot kriya shema lomar piyutim. So there are places that would stop in the brachot of kriya shema to add piyutim, to add the poems. Piyutim is going to be one of the big differences in Nusach. Middle of the brachot of shema, yeah. If you look in the art scroll, yeah. Machzor for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you see that they have, in the gray boxes where the most people don't say this, they have piyutim in the brachot of Kriyat Shema, yeah.
Correct.
So, did anybody say that? Anybody should say those?
Yeah, and, only on the Yom Kippur, though, you know, and...
In the middle, in the brachot of Kriyat Shema, I used to say them.
No, not in the middle, yes, there were.
You did, okay. That's interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Because the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says...
Also for Mariv as well, of course.
Right. In Mariv, you could also have it. So the Shulchan Aruch here says, there's places to do that. He says, it's better not to do that because it's an interruption in the brachot of Kriyat Shema. We'll talk about Birchot Kriyat Shema probably in a few months. But it's... You're not supposed to have an unnecessary interruption, so don't do it. And the Rama here adds that Yeshurim, that it's not usur, and that's the Rama says that's the minhag. And if somebody is lenient, if people do this, if community do this, we're not going to tell them to stop it. This is the minhag of the community. He suggests that he says you definitely, if you don't want to say it, that's fine. If you don't want to say it, that's fine. He says, if you want to, you definitely can't speak. You can learn Torah without saying it, because if you're saying your Torah out loud in the middle of Birchot Kriyat Shema, that's also going to make an interruption. He says, you could read the Torah, because like we said last week, remember last week we said that you have to speak your davening, because thinking doesn't really count as much. So he says, you can learn Torah by thinking it. If you're not speaking it, that's okay. But he says, you have to be careful, because if you're learning Torah while everybody else is saying these piyutim, you might come to talk. You might come to say to somebody, the guy next to you, hey, look at this line that I just learned. It's fantastic. So ultimately the Rama recommends that you should probably, you shouldn't be, he says, Ein la'adam lifrosh asfam mayat sibur b'makum shenagu la'amram v'yomer otam imam. Even though if you wanted to, you could be quiet. He says it's good not to separate yourself from the tzibur, and if you places that you're in a saying it, you could say it too. Okay, so now the Magen Avraham in his introduction to this Sivan of the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and this is going to really be our starting point that I think everybody talks about for the question of different nuschot of tefillah, is so the Magen Avraham says Ha'arizal, the Ari, well, it's going to be in the second line that's going to be relevant for us, but the Arizal lo haya omer piyutim upismonim elama shesidra harishonim kigon hakaliri shenitkenu al divrei ha'emet. So the Arizal wouldn't just say any piyut, he would only say a piyut if it was written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, one of the classic paitanim who wrote these. He wouldn't just say anything that somebody wrote. It had to really be, I assume there's opinions that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was one of the, I forget if he was a Tanner or an Amori, lived in the times of the Gemara. So the Arizal would make sure to say that the piyutim that were written by the Gaonim, by the big Talmidei Chachamim, he would only say those piyutim. And now, Amnam, Haminhagim Shinahogu Bishar Shayat Tfila Ein Lishano Mi Minhag Mekomo. He says, but the Minhagim for Tfila, what we will call your Nusach Tfila, don't change from the Minhag of your Makom. And why not? Ki yud bet she'arim bashamayim neged yud bet shvatim v'chol shevet yesh lo sharim u minhag. So he says, the Arizal says that there are these 12 gates in Shamayim. Each gate corresponds to a tribe. And each tribe has their own texts, has their own minhagim that go through that window in Shamayim. Meaning, there's no one, I guess this is now for what Gary, back to what you were pointing out, there's no one way that's correct. There's 12 ways that are correct, right? Each shevet, each tribe has its own way, and just because tribe Reuven does it one way and the people in Shimon did it another way, that doesn't mean that Reuven's right and Shimon's wrong or vice versa. It means that there's different ways of serving God, there's different ways, different minhagim, and each minhag, assuming each valid minhag, has legs to stand on. So, that the Arizal says, don't change your nusach of tefillah, because everyone, there's different each nusach reaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a different window, through a different gate. Okay, then he quotes the Yerushalmi in the next line, Afal pisha shalchu lachem seder tefillot, al tishnu miminag avoteichem, that the Yerushalmi sent, the Gemara says they sent out some type of seder of tefillah, but they told the places, if your seder of tefillah is different, don't change from the way that you do it. And this is what the Magen Avraham says. And based on this Magen Avraham, the Prima Magadim is a commentary on the Magen Avraham, said, it says, Benusa in source 3, Benusach HaTfilot Ein Lishano Nusach HaAshkenazim Lenusach Svarad Kemosha Katav HaMagen Avraham. Right? Based on the Arizal, that there's 12 ways of doing it and each way is equal, there's no reason to change from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Svarad, because your Nusach Ashkenaz is just as equal to your Nusach Svarad. So now, we're going to talk a little bit more practically about this, because not everybody agrees to that. Not everybody agrees to that. We're going to see a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're going to see two tshuvot from Rav Ovadia Yosef. I guess we can probably guess what each of them is going to say, that Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to talk about Nusach Ashkenaz as being the Nusach, and Rav Ovadia Yosef is going to talk about Nusach Svaradi, Eidot HaMizrach. I don't want to say Nusach Svard, because I think that's going to be a bit confusing, because Nusach Svard was really Nusach. Like we said, that was the Hasidic version of Nusach Ashkenaz with some of the changes. We're going to see probably the middle ground, which I found to be fascinating from the Chasam Sofer, the Maharam Shik, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and Rabbi Melavin and Pnei Elach, they all take a middle ground of...
When it says that, Lo Lashano, not to change,
yeah.
Does he mean to say you're not allowed to change, or you don't have to change? What exactly does that mean, not to change?
I think that...
But
Nusach HaTfilot Ein Lishanot Nusach Ashkenazim LeNusach Svarad. So he says, don't do it. But I don't know if he means if you did it, your tefillah doesn't work.
What is the point he's making?
Is it better not
to do it?
I think the point that he's making is that each Nusach is as good as the next one. Maybe he's saying more than that. Maybe he's saying you really shouldn't do it. You really shouldn't do it. Right. It could very well be. We're going to see that there's a lot of opinions here, so it's going to possibly to read at least a few of them into here. There's a concept, Al Titosh Torah Timecha, don't follow your menhagim, so we could use that possibly to read into here. I think he's saying, yeah, don't do it. I don't know Kabbalah and I don't know the Ari, but maybe it's even bad if you the tefillah for your shevet, nobody's saying it because everybody's saying the tefillah for the next shevet, right? Maybe that's really bad in Kabbalah. That I don't know. So it could be that, yeah, maybe he's really saying, it's not like he's not, maybe the Prima Gadim is not just recommending not to do it. Maybe it's possible he's actually saying, don't do it because your shevet, everybody has their different the different types of tefillah, and you need to make sure that your shevet is accomplishing its form of tefillah. But that sounds to me like a Kabbalistic Ari type of discussion. So I don't know more than that. And what I mean is that under Kabbalah, under this idea of 12 gates, if let's say tomorrow everybody stops davening Nusach Ashkenaz, is there a problem in that because one of the gates or a few of the gates are not, nothing is going through those gates? Or do we say that's not such a problem because everybody's still davening? And that to me sounds like a Kabbalistic idea of, do we need all 12 or is 11 out of 12?
Just have to be online till it gets through. It'll be very...
It has to be, sorry?
I'm just joking. I'm saying that the gate will be so busy.
Oh, the other gate, yeah. The
trailer will get through slower.
Yeah, you can sell your place. Can sell your place in line to the guy behind you.
The gate's wider.
Yeah.
You have to go to Mayor Shum.
Yes.
I'll
never get through.
So this is. So now we're going to see a few chuvot here that I found to be very interesting. Yes.
Very curious to find out what happens when a person goes into a shul that, you know, in another section, another town, whatever. And he davens Ashkenaz.
We'll see. We're going to get to that. Okay? Probably next week we're going to get to that. So if you have anything very practical, I guess, let me know. And I'll try to give you the bottom line so that you know between this week and next week. That's an important question that we have to deal with. So the tshuva to Rav Moshe Feinstein, we have a few tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein throughout this packet. So the tshuva to Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'll see some of this inside, maybe we'll do all of it. And the top line of source 4, this is from Or HaChaim, Chelek Bet, Siman Chav Dalet. Be'echad shehu mimishpacha shem mipalalin nusach svarad. So somebody's family davens nusach svarad. So that would be the Hasidim, when the Nusach initial, we daven Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So somebody is davening Nusach Sfard. His family is minagas to daven Nusach Sfard. V'hu nitragel b'Nusach Ashkenaz. But he himself davens Nusach Ashkenaz, probably or possibly because when he went to school or where he was learning in yeshiva, they were davening Nusach Ashkenaz. He grew up with Nusach Ashkenaz. So somebody's father davens Nusach Sfard, but he himself always davened Nusach Ashkenaz. And now it sounds like he grew up or he's out of the yeshiva or wherever he was. Ha'im im tzarech l'shano l'nusach mishpachto. Does he need to switch back to Nusach Sfard because his father davened Nusach Sfard and his grandfather davened Nusach Sfard? So we're getting into... Is there a Nusach that's better or worse, or maybe it doesn't matter? So the question to Rav Moshe is, we're clear on the question, he daven Nusach Ashkenaz, his father daven Nusach Sfar. If we're going to assume that you should follow the Minhagim of your father, then this guy should be davening Nusach Sfar. If we're going to assume that Nusach Ashkenaz is better, let's say, then we would tell him, don't switch to the, even though your father davens Nusach Sfar, you grew up davening the quote unquote better nusach, so you shouldn't switch to a different nusach. So Rav Moshe answers. Here he doesn't. B'davar she'avicha hu mimishpacha shel chasidim shemipalalim b'nusach shekorino ta nusach svard. So he says your father is they're chasidim, so you're davening nusach svard. Aval mikevan she'avicha gar b'malkom shemipalalim b'nusach Ashkenaz. He says it. In that place there were people were davening Ashkenaz. V'gam lamadete b'yaldutcha leipalal b'nusach Ashkenaz. So he kind of repeats the question. We'll skip to the next paragraph. So he says, "Hine yadua shekol anshe Poland veUngaron veRusland." So he says, "We know that the people of Poland, Hungary, and I guess Ruslan must have been like the Greater Russia area. I don't know if Rav Moshe used that phrase in other places, but right, the Greater Russia area. Levad mekomot harachokim Karim veKavkaz." He's listing some of the places. So what does Rav Moshe say? He says, "Heim b'nei Ashkenaz." They're really Ashkenazim. Av ha-chasidim. Right, the chasidim were Ashkenaz. The achen ishpashta shita da chasidut hipalu kulam b'nusach Ashkenaz. He said, and before the chasidim, if you were living in Poland, you were davening nusach Ashkenaz. Ach achar kach hichilu rashi chasidim lahanig lipala b'nusach acher be'ez shinuyim. And then the chasidim decided to change their nusach, and they made some changes. V'nimsa she'ein lahachshiv shinoi minhag ma shehidchalta lipala nusach Ashkenaz. He says, don't think of it that you changed the minhag because your father is chasidish, and he davens Nusach Sfard, and you davens Nusach Ashkenaz. Af shavicha va'od bet v'gimel dorot hilchilu itpal b'nusach achadash, sh'harei adar abe heim shinu minhag avoteihem. He says, you didn't change the minhag because your father davens Sfard, and you davens Ashkenaz. You're not the one who changed the minhag. It's your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather who changed the minhag, because our minhag is to daven Ashkenaz, and they changed it. Yeah, that's what he says. And then he says, "Ve'ein yadua ta'am boru b'mashi hitiru l'shanat nusach ha'kavua neged Yerushalmi shehevi ha'magid avram." He says, and so you see, actually, Gary, your question about the Prima Gadim, and so he says now here, he says, "I don't even know the reason." Ein yadua ta'am boru b'mashi hitiru l'shanat. He says, "I don't know what allowed them to do it. It's against the Yerushalmi that the Magid Avram quotes. It's against it. They were not supposed to." Says the Chassidim, "were not supposed to have changed the minhag." At the end, he says, "They must have had good reasons." He doesn't speculate what those reasons were. He says they shouldn't. I don't know why they did it. Right? The Yerushalmi said not to the Magen Avram that we just saw quotes that there's the 12 versions. So according, it would seem according to the way Rav Moshe understands it is that Ein Lashano means don't, you can't do it.
Don't switch tribes.
Don't. Yeah, exactly. And then he quotes, we'll see some of these things coming up. So basically he says to him, he says, you're not, the, your question, should you go back to the Nusach of your father because we follow the Nusach of your father? It's, he doesn't say this, but you can read between the lines as him saying, your father should go back to the Nusach of his great-grandfather and should join you in your Nusach, which is Ashkenaz. So then there's an idea out there that we'll probably see quoted in some of these sources that that Svaradi Rav Ovadia takes this approach is like the all-encompassing Nusach. That you can do, either you could do the one of your tribes or you can move on up and do the better one, which is Nusach Svarad. So Rav Moshe disagrees with that for reasons that we'll see in the Chasam Sofer when we get to the Chasam Sofer. Yes.
Svarad you talk about now.
It's a little, I was going to actually say also, it's, sometimes it's a little bit hard to... He says Nusach Svarad is probably the Hasidim. They're the ones who made the claim that their Nusach is the best. I think Rav Avadia Yosef might use that for Nusach Svaradi, that idea. I was going to say, sometimes it's a, you have to try to figure out when they say Nusach Svarad if they mean the Hasidish Nusach Svarad or Edot HaMizrach.
I would guess Edot HaMizrach.
Rav Avadia, that's why when I was reading this, I was back and forth. Rav Avadia, I'm assuming, is talking about Edot HaMizrach. I think here, he must be talking about Nusach Svarad, like the Hasidim. Because the Hasidim said, the Hasidim said that their Nusach was the all-encompassing one, so you can either daven any Nusach you want, or the Nusach Svarad. Well, it's a little confusing, because I think Rav Avadia does use that idea as actual Svaradi, I think. And then he says, Rav Moshe says, "V'gam levad zeh ha'nusach shemipalalein eino nusach svard." And he says, and the nusach isn't even svard because it's really nusach Ashkenaz, just that the Chassidim then changed it. Fine, and then skipping a few to three lines up from the end of the paragraph, towards the end of the line, al kolpanim ein anu ma'arim al elo sheshinu. He says, I'm not going to raise a ruckus, I'm not going to object to the people who changed. He said they must have had some reason that allowed all the Hasidim to change the Nusach. But when somebody wants to return, comes back to us. If somebody wants to return and lipal Nusach Ashkenaz, shehu Nusach Avoteinu v'Raboteinu. Nusach Ashkenaz is the Nusach of our fathers and of our sages. Vadai Rashai Sharei Chozer Likadmuto. You're returning to your source, you're returning to your initial minhag. So it would seem from Rav Moshe could have also taken approach here, which I think he has this approach in a line in a different tshuva that we'll probably come to next week. He could have said all the nuschot are the same, and you don't worry, your father davens nusach Svarad, but you daven nusach Ashkenaz. If you want to follow his minhag, great, because we try to follow the minhagim of our fathers, and if you don't, nusach Ashkenaz is good too. Rav Moshe really goes and builds a case for Ashkenaz. It sounds like from this tshuva that Ashkenaz is better than Nusach Svarad, right? I don't think he's not talking about Edot HaMizrach, but it sounds like Ashkenaz is better than Nusach Svarad because Ashkenaz was the language that we were davening in for thousands of years, and only recently did the Hasidim decide to change it. So Rav Moshe says, you're not actually going against your father and grandfather, you're really going with your great-great-grandfather. So this is Rav Moshe's tshuva. I think they quote this, that Rav Moshe was Nusach Ashkenaz is better than, and like I said, I think that what he's saying is Nusach Ashkenaz for somebody who's from the European area, Nusach Ashkenaz is better, but I don't think that he's necessarily saying that it's better than Edot HaMizrach. for people who are not from this area. So I think that's the takeaway, that it sounds like Nusach Ashkenaz is better than Nusach Sfard from this Rav Moshe Tshuva. Okay, we're going to see Rav Avadya Yosef now has two tshuvas. I don't know, we'll probably do a little bit of each of them inside. They're both very interesting questions. Very interesting questions to Rav Avadya Yosef. The first question is in the bottom of source of page 1, source 5, from Yechaveh Da'at Chelek Gimel Siman Vav. So the question is, in Tveria Elite, so Shchuna in Tveria, Hukam Beit Knesset Chadash L'Toshaya Shchuna. So there was a new shul that was built in Tveria Elite. And Kol HaMitpalelim Hem Yotzei Tzafon Africa. All the people who go there are from North Africa, and they're davening some type of Eidot HaMizrach, Tefillah. Okay. Virov Hatzibur Doresh Leitpalel B'Nusach HaSfaradi HaMekubal Aleinu Midor Dor. And everybody, since they're from North Africa, they daven Nusach Sfaradi, something similar to Eidot HaMizrach. So they all want to daven that Nusach. But So we mentioned last week Nusach Achid. So Nusach Achid, I read a tiny drop on this. Rav Goren made a Nusach for the army to daven in, so that when you're in the army, everybody, there would be like a uniform practice in the army where I think they probably having greater divisions is less... it's better to have everybody united in all things army related. So Rav Goren made this Nusach Achid for the army that's karav l'Nusach Ashkenaz. It's very similar to Nusach Ashkenaz.
What does
so,
that mean?
I guess unified.
Unified.
He mostly took, I don't know, in one of the other tshuvas he mentions, Rav Avadi mentions that Bnei Akiva does this also, so I don't know exactly who davens this Nusach Achid. It seems to be that if you go to a minyan on an army base, they're going to be using the army sidurim, and the army sidurim are nusach achir, are this nusach that Rav Goren made so that everybody would be davening together in the army. So what's the problem here? What's the issue? The issue is that all the older people want to daven the nusach that they're accustomed to for generations, and the young people who are in the army, coming home from the army, or just went through the army for a few years, and that's now how they daven. They want to daven with the new nusach. So the question to Rav Avadya is, tell us, Rav Avadya Yosef, what should we do in our shul? So the next page, this is, and this was a very, very long tshuva. We have another excerpt of this that we'll do next week in source 18. I took even a small part of the long tshuva. So Rav Avadya Yosef, first he quotes the Magen Avraham, and he quotes the Arizal, right, about everybody having their minhag, the 12 gates, and everybody has their minhag. So then he says, according to this, there's no doubt in my mind you should be doing the Nusach Sfaradi that is accepted from generations and generations and generations of Sfaradim. We daven some type of Nusach Sfaradi, and don't change. And then he even quotes, and this is where it gets a little bit confusing. He quotes from the Chida that I'm reading this like four lines down here. Aval tefillat nusach hasfaradim ole b'chol echa mishneim asar sharim. He quotes this idea of the one nusach that works for sure, works for everybody, as being nusach. He calls nusach hasfaradim. So he's talking about nusach sfaradi. So he's
the Mizrach.
That's what I think, yeah. Even though the Hasidim quote this for, I think, Nusach Svar. They quote this for Nusach Svar. I think it sounds from here. He's quoting the Chida that it's for Nusach Svaradim. And he says that the first paragraph, the second line at the end of the paragraph in the middle, then he says, based on this idea that even though there's 12 gates, but one of the gates is, one gate is open to everybody. Anybody who wants can use that gate. Af al pi shemuter l'ashkenaz. So, according to this, if, and here he says Nusach Svar, but I think he's saying Svaradi, it's mutter for the Ashkenazim to switch to this Nusach, because the gate is open for everybody, and Ashkenazi for sure could daven Nusach Svaradi, because it's great for him. But, in the next line, Mikol Malkum Ein L'Svaradim L'Shanot Nuschatam L'Minag Ashkenaz. He's also understanding this, Gary, as don't change. don't change. So a Sfaradi cannot change to Nusach Ashkenaz because he's going to go through the wrong gate. It's not going to work for him. Mm-hmm. But an Ashkenazi can switch to Nusach Sfaradi because that's the Nusach they call the Kolel. The way that they say this in Kabbalah is that there's 12 gates, and then there's this like, and then they add this 13th gate that's open for everybody. And the 13th gate is depending on is either Nusach Sfaradi or Nusach Sfarad. I said it's very, very interesting. It's very interesting. And he quotes the second paragraph. He quotes other tshuvos. Shenusach Sfaradim b'tfila hu ha'ikar. He's quoting that the Nusach Sfaradi is the ikar. And then he quotes again. That he quotes another time that. Is the better nusach, and he quotes the Hasidim who also agree with this, which I'm not sure that they're talking about the same nusach. So now it's I guess a little bit unclear to me if he's talking about nusach Sfaradi or nusach Sfarad, because the tshuva that he just quoted, that he quotes from the Divrei Chaim, was talking about nusach Sfarad. And then he quotes, and we'll see this in also in a few minutes, that there's Rabbi Nassan Adler, who was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim, he was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer in Europe in the 1700s, he himself davened in Nusach Miftah Sfaradi. He himself changed the way he pronounced words, he changed everything, and he davened in Nusach Sfaradi, and Ad Kidei Kach, that he even brought in a rabbi from Yerushalayim for a few months to teach him all the right, correct pronunciations of Sfaradi pronunciation, Sfaradi Nusach, so that he would... That he would do that. And then in the next line, he quotes from a Maharam Sheikh that even though the Magen Avraham that we started off said, you shouldn't change... That, but Mikol Makom, if you want to change to Sfarad, he says Nusach Sfarad, I probably mean Sfaradi, then you could, right? The Magen Avraham was not including that change. So the Magen Avraham said, you can't do it. He only meant from Ashkenaz, from Sfarad, either Sfarad or Sfaradi to Ashkenaz, but not the other way. This is an interesting tshuva. Interesting tshuva. Also, I think is it in this tshuva? The next one, he also has some interesting points. Then he says, "Barur ma'od efo shanusach ha-michuna b'shem nusach achid." Then he back to the question, right? The question about the shul and Tveri elite. So he says, "Nusach achid is nusach really nusach Ashkenaz." And if you're telling me that you want that all the people from North Africa who daven nusach Sfaradi, they want to change to nusach Ashkenaz, I'm telling you that that's. He says, "It's usur. You can't do that." You can't do that. And then he also throws in, which is very important, he says, most of the people want Nusach Sfaradi. It's a shul. If most of the people want that, then you go with what the masses want also. So Rav Ovadia's tshuva to this shul was Davin Nusach Sfaradi, which according to Rav Ovadia Yosef is the better Nusach. And the Ashkenazim could change. What?
He would say that.
Yes, the Ashkenazim can change the Nusach Sfaradi, but the Sfaradim should not be davening Nusach Ashkenaz. I think I don't know if it's this true or the next one, he even has some lines where their tefillahs might not be effective if Sfaradi davens in Ashkenaz. And then the next question here, another very interesting question to Rav Ovadia Yosef, and we'll see, he says the same thing, gives the same answer. So, in source 6, from Yabia Omer Chelek Vav Simen Yud, Odot She'elato B'davar Masha Hunag B'Veit HaSefer HaTichon HaDati B'Afula. So the Beit Sefer in Afula, the religious school, what they were doing is they were Lehitpala B'Sidur Shalachenu HaAshkenazim HaChasidim Shenikra Nusach Sfarad. So now, this is an interesting, before he had it, before he was talking about Sfaradi, Edot HaMizrach versus Ashkenaz, so now from this tshuva, his question is, what Nusach Sfarad or Sfaradi? So lamrot shelamala mitishim achuz shel mitamidei beit hasefer hine heinam mibnei hasfaradim veedot hamizrach. 90% of the school was Sfaradi and Eidot Hamizrach, but they were davening Nusach Sfarad, which is what the Hasidim had. What the Hasidim had kind of adapted Nusach Ashkenaz into with some changes. So the question to Rav Ovadia Yosef is, well, what should we do in the school? 90% of the kids are from Sfaradi families. So, but on the other hand, the school, the teachers of the school were saying that, and this is makes it also very similar to the previous question, the teachers of the school were saying, when they're going to go out of here, they're going to graduate, they're going to go to the army. The army davening is Nusach Achid. Nusach Achid is very similar to Nusach Ashkenaz, is very similar to Nusach Sfarad, to Nusach Sfard, right? These are all similar. It's better for their education to do that, because otherwise it's just going to be so different for them after they graduate. And it just also occurred to me how it's very interesting how you see how cultures change in a way, because if we give the Svaradin this education of Nusach Svarad into the army, then basically that's you're making a system where in 30 or 50 years they're going to raise their kids with Nusach Achid or Nusach Svarad. In 30 or 50 years we're all going to have the same Nusach, and I guess that possibly explains just how Nusachs develop.
And Nusachs develop. Would die out, wouldn't you, basically?
Right, that would be what happened if everybody's doing. Yeah, that's what would happen. Yeah. So that just occurred to me. So the question is, what should they do? So Rav Avadia again says in source 6 in the second paragraph, Nimsa shaladat Rabbeinu HaArizal atzmo dafka l'Sfaradim ein l'shana l'nusach Ashkenaz. So again, he says the Sfaradim shouldn't switch to Ashkenaz, and Nusach Svarad is really very similar, like we said, to Nusach Ashkenaz. Aval Ashkenazim mutar l'itpal k'nuschot ha-Sfaradim. He says, and this is what the Arizal says, and then he says, even though we also have this idea that everybody should go in the third line in the second paragraph, Chayv lalechet achar minhag avotav, right? You should follow the minhagim of your parents. Aval moriz al kasav sheminhag svaradim hu yoter tzach hu bar shebechulan. Right? Yes, it's true that you should follow the minhag of your parents, but not necessarily when there's a better choice. A better choice is nusach svaradi. And this was an interesting line also. Chavish anira kol haleshonot sheba'olam tafsu minhag ha-Sfaradim zulat ha-Ashkenazim. So he says, everybody in the world is doing the minhag Sfaradim except for the Ashkenazim. Which is, I find interesting, because you could have all... Everybody's doing it Nusach Ashkenaz, but right. For the Sfaradim. Right. So I thought that was an interesting line. So he says, and then he says at the end, certainly since most of the Talmidim are Sfaradim, you need to daven in the Sidurim Shal Sfaradim. And then at the end he has this line that he says he wishes he could write to them more on this topic, because this is one of, you know, his topics. He's really into this topic. He has Ach ma shehalev choshek hazman oshek. What your heart desires, the time oppresses you and makes it that it's harder for you to have time for. His heart desires to write more, but because his heart desires this more and more, the time is oppressing him, greater pressures on him from time, that he has no time to write it. That's what I thought, that was a nice line. And then he says at the end that we should institute Nusach Svarad, and we can be Lahachzir Atara LeYoshna, we return the crown to its glory, return Nusach Svarad to its proper place as the better Nusach. So we saw up till now, at least, that Rav Avadia Yosef has two tshuvas. One about Nusach Svarad versus Nusach Ashkenaz, where he says everybody can switch to Svarad, but not vice versa. And Nusach Svaradi versus Ashkenaz. And now we have a tshuva of Nusach Svarad, like we daven in the shul here from time, probably half the time, I don't know, maybe more, versus Nusach Svaradi, like Edot HaMizrach. And he says the same thing, that in both, that we should be following... we should be following Eidot HaMizrach, Eidot HaMizrach Sfaradi. It's interesting, or what he doesn't tell us, both of these cases involved majority wanting Nusach Sfaradi, right? In the school, there was 90% Sfaradi, and the other school, there was a majority wanting it. He doesn't tell us if you have a minority that wants Nusach Sfaradi, if he would tell us, well, because he used two principles here. He said one is that Nusach Sfaradi is the better one, and two is that the majority want it. So the open-ended question, if the majority are Ashkenaz, want Ashkenaz, but the minority are Davin Nusach Sfaradi, if we go by the majority because they're the majority, or we go by the minority because he thinks that that's the better option. You might be able to bring a proof that he thinks you go by the minority, because he says we go by the better option, like Nusach Sfaradi, even at the expense of the minhag of your parents, right? He says even though your parents have the minhag, it's still that Nusach Sfaradi is barur, tzach ve-barur. So it could be that he probably would say even in the minority, even if a minority wanted to daven, if the minority wanted to daven Nusach Sfaradi and the majority wanted to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, it could very well be that he would say, well, you should daven Nusach Sfaradi because that's the better one.
Follow your parents unless they daven Ashkenaz.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. Well, I wanted to cover a little bit more, so let's try to do the next two sources, and then we'll do the rest of it next week. Your question? Anything?
No, I'm good. It's an observation, really. Yeah, Rav Shandlos changed to...
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. He upgraded in the eyes of some.
Yes. he went into it quite thoroughly, I think.
Right. Yeah. Probably, right, probably Rav Moshe would not necessarily have recommended that. We're going to see specifically, because what you're saying is that he did his research and he thought about it a lot. Yeah.
It's a different concept other than what we're talking about. It's like the concept of which davening I feel more connected to.
Okay, very good. Speaks to yes, me. Yes, yes.
Which that's one makes my davening?
We're going to come to that.
It's not just a matter of when you said it better, but which one this
right.
makes me
I'm not sure that Rav Moshe would necessarily... I have to double-check the tshuva. Based on the tshuva we saw, I don't know if Rav Moshe would necessarily agree to that, and I think Rav Avadya Yosef would agree to that if you're going from Ashkenaz to Sfarad, but not vice versa. But we're going to come to now the launching point for the idea that if there's one nisach that you feel more connected to, that you have better kavana with, then exactly. that's probably going to override all the other concerns, which that's going to override everything else.
Today I feel Ashkenaz, today I feel
right, Spanish. Right. If there's one that you're really going to daven better in, because right, the whole reason we have a text was because we couldn't have kavana. Correct. So now that we have this text that helps with their kavana, if there's one that you're going to yeah. have better kavana with, then it's probably better sense. To do that. Yeah. Call that the middle of the road approach, and that's probably yeah. We'll see that in we'll probably get more detail to that later, but yeah, that's it's a good point.
Do you think the location has something to do with it? Meaning now that we're here in Israel, the thing is that. We want to be closer to Hashem, so we want to daven in the best way we possibly can. And if there's some way that we could change it somehow, in other words, make it from what we had before, wherever we were in, you know what I'm saying? Like in
yeah.
the United States, yeah. whatever you were, whatever show you daven in.
There's right, there's a tension. Well, first, we don't. The question assumes that there's one best option.
Yeah.
The question assumes that, so. Even if that's true, we'll probably see a little bit in the sources next week about how even if you think there's something better or there's one of the grammar rules that you think is better off, yeah. I think that the sources are going to say you should still try to do the minhag of your parents. But I guess if you're really if somebody
lower than Ashkenaz,
right? But if somebody, I don't know, if somebody's a grammarian and like he connects better and understands better because he's diving with a slightly better grammatical text. Then it could very well be that for him to do that, that he would try to find the exact. We'll see it inside in some of the sources that they'd say that there's no reason to try to pick the best, what you think is the best version, because like we saw from the Arizal, there's 12 gates and every version is good. So you don't have to try to pick the best one per se. There are lots of movements now. I read that. I can't. Someone a few years ago was trying to find the Arizal, the best version of the Arizal, because then you could have the best davening. I think right now there's a small group that is trying to uncover all the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael and reestablish them, because all these minhagim that we have are from all the other countries. They're trying to, which is an interesting question about bringing back minhagim that have been gone for 1,000 years. But yeah, it's a good question about whether you should try to. Oh, and that's what I was going to say. And I think a lot of what the Gra did was those small changes to improve grammar. The Gra, maybe I'll try to look into that a little bit next week. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, also had his version of the Siddur, which I think was textual, like some textual changes and grammatical changes.
Chaim Berlin uses the Gra.
Uses the Gra. Okay. Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we have. It's already a bit late. Okay, so we'll do one or two more things. So the if that's okay with everybody, everybody has a few more minutes. So the Chasam Sofer now has a middle of the ground tshuva, where he says, "Hine kvar gilit in source 7 daati l'chol omdim lefanai." So he says, "I already made this known to everybody. Kikach kibalti me rabotai." This is what I received from my teachers. Hey, Mori Agon Chassid, Chebechuhuna Marino Rav Natan Adler. So Rav Natan Adler, we noted before, was the one who changed, who brought the person from Yerushalayim in so he could learn all about Nusach Svarad. He was the teacher of the Chasam Sofer. Vangon Rabbi Shalko B'nei Agola Hafla'a, and the Hafla'a, who was also one of the Gedolim, was one of the Chasam Sofer's Rebbeim. Asher Mimeim Shatiti. Umim Koram Chatzavti. He says, and I drank from their water, and I... Yud, is that how you say it? When you like cut stone? I got everything from them. Now this is the key. Ki kol hanuschaot shavot zo kizo. Every nusach is equal. Every nusach is equal. One's not better than the other. V'chol sheyesh bazo, yesh bazo. Ella, he says everything that one has, the other one has too, right? Every nusach is accomplishing the same thing. And he says, skipping the line, va'anu mitpalalein al divrei mitakne tefilot nuschad halalu kichulam ledavar echani kavanu. Right, we follow Ashkenaz. Like, we saw that the people that, well, Rav Avadi Yosef thought that Nusach Sfarad was the better version, with the Hasidim updated. He said, Nusach Ashkenaz was established by the Geonim and by the Tamid HaChamim. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, it's we have strong legs to stand on. And then he compares it to Nevuah. He says, just like in the bottom line, he called Nuscha v'Nuscha Eina Ela B'Signun Echad Mishuna Mechaverta. He says Nevuah, the Nevi'im, all had the same prophecy, but it was all a different style. So he says davening is the same thing. Every Nusach is a different style, but Kol Heim Olim L'Makom Echad. All our tefillah, everything's going to the same place. All the tefillahs are going to Shamayim.
It's all the same structure as well.
And yeah,
the number of brachot before.
Yes. Yes, so we'll see probably next week. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he says it's all everyone is equal and it's fundamentally the same thing. And he says then the Arizal came. Oh, this is a very interesting line here that not everybody's happy with, but the Chasam Sofer said it. He says, when the Arizal came, and what did the Arizal do? Arizal took Nusach Sfarad because he was in Egypt, and I don't want to say upgraded, but he amended it with Kabbalah concepts. So the Chasam Sofer says the only reason that the Rizal did that was because, why did he do that? It's because he was living in Egypt where they were davening Nusach Sfarad, and if he was living in an Ashkenazi land, he just as likely would have taken the Ashkenazi text and changed it to make it more Kabbalistic. Meaning that it's not that Nusach Sfarad is the better one, and that the Arizal quote-unquote upgraded it by adding the Kabbalah-y concept, so now Nusach Ari is the best one, or the Hasidim are the best one, really. That's just a happenstance of where the Ari was living when he did it. Yes.
Circumstantial.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that it's better. And again, the Chasam Sofer talks about how we have the Tamidei Chachamim, the Ashkenazi Tamidei Chachamim that established the Tefillah. And again, I selectively underline part of it in mind, but so he says that. And then he says that his Rebbe, right, where he said Rebbe Nelson Adler changed it. He said, if somebody, and this is going to lead us to the point that Gary made a few minutes ago, that the Rebbe Nelson Adler, who understood all these Kabbalistic ideas, so for him, he had greater Kavana when he switched from Nusach Ashkenaz to some type of, to Nusach Ari. Or Nusach Sfaradi, I don't know, I guess it's unclear because now which one exactly he changed to. But the point is that he had all the key, it helped his Kavana. But yeah. So the Chasam Sofer says, but for the rest of us, including the son, I think the son of Rabbi Nelson Adler, if you're not at the level where you're understanding all these Kabbalistic intonations from the Tefillah, then there'd be no reason for you to change from Ashkenaz to Sfarad. The only point was to help those people with the greater Kavana. And then he says, and what the bottom line he says, what emerges from our words is that if somebody davens Nusach Sfarad, or again, like I said, sometimes it's unclear which Nusach they're referring to exactly. It could be that he's talking about Nusach Ari, because everybody here said, nobody I didn't see at least uses the term Nusach Ari. And if they're understanding what they're doing, great. And if you don't understand what you're doing, so you're davening, al da mitaknei tefilot Nuschei Ashkenaz. You're davening according to the nusach that was established by the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and of course your tefillah is heard. Don't say that we can't say that one tefillah is different than another tefillah. All tefillahs are tefillahs; they're all going to the same place. And nusach Ashkenaz, nusach Sfarad, Sfaradi, the nuschah. You can't say that one is better than the other. And the Maharam Sheik. So the Divrei Chaim, who's Hasidish, who was instituted Nusach, one of his Nusach versions of Nusach Sfarad, he has a tshuva that he's not happy with this Chasam Sofer, and he can't believe the Chasam Sofer said such a thing, that the Arizal only happened to change Nusach Sfarad because he was living in a Sfaradi country, and he's not happy. And the Maharam Sheik then has a tshuva, and he defends the Chasam Sofer, which I guess they were, I don't know if they were peers, I don't know if they... but he says that in the second paragraph, and the line that I underlined is also, it struck me as a really fantastic line, but I'm going back to of the Efshar at the beginning of that line. The Efshar Shafilu im Haya Ashkenazi, right? It's possible, this is what the Chosim Sofer says, that if the Arizal was Ashkenazi, Ayagam came Mosif Ezidvarim Shem Srichin Tikkun, he would have also upgraded or amended the Ashkenazi Siddur. So it doesn't mean that the Sephardi Siddur, basically we're saying that doesn't mean the Sephardi Siddur is better because the Arizal chose that version to add his Kabbalistic intonations to. We're saying that it just happened to be because he was living in a country where everybody was doing it. And now the next line of the Maharam Shik says, oh, Efshar, Shim Haya Oseh Vekotev Kavanasav Anusach Ashkenazi, Lo Hayat Tzarech Lahosif Beguf Nusach Atfila, Shekvar Haya Yafeh Hakol Umitukan Heitev. It's entirely possible, even if the Arizal was living in Ashkenaz, he wouldn't have to change a single thing, because maybe Nusach Ashkenaz is Yafeh Hakol Umitukan Heitev, is a very good Nusach, and nothing would have even needed to be changed. Which I thought was a fantastic line. So he says, so this is the tshuva. So now, we'll pick up with the Aruch HaShulchan next week, and next week we'll get into a lot more practical applications of everything we said. This was like our introduction. Next week will be the practical. We basically said three, the Nusach HaTfilah, Ashkenaz is, Rav Moshe has the tshuva where he says Ashkenaz is really our source, and Ashkenaz is a very proper minhag for Ashkenazim. Nusach, we saw Rav Avad Yosef, who's very much in favor of Nusach Sfaradi, and we have this approach, the middle approach, which is going to be of the Chasam Sofer, Maram Shik. We'll see the Aruch HaShulchan and Rabbi Melamed and Pnine Elacha next week, that really the Nuschaot are, everyone is equal, and there's no reason to think that one is necessarily better than better than the other, and that's going to have ramifications for then changing Nusach, or being in a shul with a different Nusach. It'll have, each of these opinions is going to have ramifications for all those, the practical questions we'll talk about next week.